people are buying your expertise. So actually, you know, bringing that to the front forefront and introducing your teams and your employees and to your customers is one of the best ways to build trust, because you get a feel for whether you're going to like working with this brand or with their employees and how that will look going forwards. And actually, I think, you know, podcasts are great, videos are great, because you get that face to face.
Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. Writing has never been my strong point, although creativity and imagination are high up there, which is part of my own content strategy. But how about you? Where are your strengths and weaknesses in the content genre? In a world where content really matters, be it driving awareness, gaining attention, educating, or even entertaining, it's always a good thing to have a process behind you to keep you on course more than anything. Enter Lucy Mowat and the Content Marketing Method. Lucy is an experienced content marketing consultant with more than 10 years' experience working both in-house and agency side. Working previously as a magazine editor and now works with startups and big brands, helping them achieve their goals through strategic content marketing activity. Sounds like a bit of a mouthful, I know, but in this episode, we're going to cover the content marketing method, which is audit, strategy, plan, delivery, and performance, the best platforms, apps, software to help with developing your own content, and what do most people do wrong when tackling their content plan? But first, as Lucy comes from Norwich, there was only one question I had in mind to kick off our chat. Probably my favourite assist question of all time. Alan Partridge, discuss.
What I'm going to say, sacrilege, as someone who lives in Norwich, is that I have never seen a full episode of Alan Partridge.
I know.
It makes me cringe so much that I can't sit through a whole episode.
And that is the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate your time.
I'm so sorry. Like, and I get that people love it, and I do think he's great for Norwich. He's, you know, he's kind of fun, like yeah. The people of Norwich, and you know, awkward and all those things, but. No, it's just too much for me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. I'm sure it's this year and it's only for a set period of time, but I'm sure they've put a statue up outside a shopping centre. Or was that a few years ago?
No, I think I saw that earlier this year. There was outside of the Forum, which is a big sort of library and social space, that there was a statue to Alan Partridge. I don't know where it came from or if it's still there. But yeah, during the second lockdown, I think that appeared.
Yeah, I think it's still next year, like Jan next year. Something like that. So yeah, I think so. I read, because I wondered if there was a statue to him in Norwich, because it would just be one of those things that happens. And yeah, it's a temporary statue until around about Jan, I think.
Well, I did see, this is a random thing related to Alan Partridge. It was when he was filming Alpha Papa. I was actually in the Forum when they were filming some of the motor chase scenes outside. And I remember watching them take it and retake it and retake it. It was great.
Brilliant. I love it.
That's the most Alan Partridge I've ever seen.
That's right. We've seen it live though, so that beats me. True. Right, okay. On to more serious topics. If you can get more serious than Alan Partridge, I'm not quite sure. But first and foremost, can you introduce yourself? What's your story that brings you to this stage in your career? And what are you up to right now?
So I am a content marketing consultant. So I'll start at the end and then work back. Cool. So yeah, I help businesses come up with content strategies and execute those content strategies in line with their wider marketing and business goals, fundamentally. But my career started as an editor. So I worked as a writer and editor for magazines. Most notably, I worked for a contract publisher. So I would produce magazines for other brands as part of their marketing strategies. So people like Centre Parks and Arga, I would edit their magazines as part of their marketing plans. Publishing isn't particularly well-paid sector, and I wasn't necessarily going anywhere in that role. So I made the decision to move sideways into content marketing. It seemed like a logical leap, and it's an industry that has boomed and is still booming. So there's lots of opportunity there. So yeah, I took that knowledge and moved to a digital marketing agency, and also worked in-house for a little while for a company. And then about 2.5 years ago, decided to make the leap and become self-employed.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so I'm working with a range of businesses now, providing content marketing consulting, business-to-business and business-to-consumer, which is quite nice. It's a good mix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice healthy mix. I love the fact that you highlighted that content marketing is quite prevalent now, and it continues to be. And from your LinkedIn profile and what I've read, it's very much from a strategic point of view and the content as well, which is excellent. That means I don't have to get on my soapbox about how important a strategic direction is before you even touch any type of content. We're both on the same page. Happy days.
Yeah, it's so important because I have, worked with and come across businesses who are just pumping out stuff, but they don't really know why. Mm-hmm. And then they're wondering why they don't see results. So I do think it's really important to have that strategy in place before you even start typing or recording.
Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely love it. Right, straight into some actionable tips then. So the thing that I want to cover today, because I think the listeners will really, really appreciate it, is this thing called the content marketing method. And let's get into the detail here. So I'll summarize the sections and then you can take it away and I'll just dive in as we go. So the content marketing method, your method, and it goes from audit, looking at strategy, hurrah, and then bit of planning as you need, then actual delivery, as important as anything else, obviously, and then finally performance. So from auditing to performance, take us through this content marketing method and how we can implement it.
What I would say is really, really important from any marketing perspective is know your objectives right from the outset. So before you even start doing any auditing and things like that, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to know what you're trying to do. So what is it your business is trying to do? What is your marketing is trying to do? And then what is it you want to do with that marketing? And really think about that. And then start looking at the wider landscape. Look at what your competitors are doing, what you've done in the past and what works and what hasn't, because I think that can tell you quite a lot about your audience and what resonates with them. And then look at your audience. So actually what I find is quite useful is looking at things like Facebook groups, especially if you're B2C, Facebook groups are a mine of useful information. Keep an eye on what they're talking about if your customers are in those groups, and go out and be part of those groups and don't even say anything, but just watch what's being discussed. I found this really useful. Reddit, similarly, actually, I've really got into Reddit recently.
Okay.
So I highly recommend if you're in a particular niche, there's likely to be a Reddit or a subreddit about your topic. Go and have a look, see what people are saying, find out what the community is interested in, because it might be that it's not the same thing that you are.
I've never thought of using Reddit. It's weird. I mean, there's so many services and different platforms out there, but yeah, it's never crossed my mind. Smart.
I really love it, actually. And I've really got into it over the last few months. I sort of started looking and dabbling with it during lockdown, actually looking at, there's a good Norwich group. There's a good community for local people. shout out to Norwich Massive. And actually, there's so many marketing channels. There's lots of industry channels, like if you're into classic cars or your customers are into that, or they're running a business, whatever it is, there's so many different groups and most people in there are quite passionate. But don't go straight in there and start bombarding them with like sales messages, because that's the quickest way to get your butt kicked out of any Reddits.
Absolutely, yeah. Nobody wants that.
new. So I think that's quite good. Also, maybe look at LinkedIn, because a lot of the time, if you're connecting with your clients, what are they talking about? You know, what do they need? What things are they missing? And how can you plug that? Mm. So knowing your audience, and as I say, looking at your competitors, what is it they're doing? What do you think is working well? One of the nice things, I'll say nice things, easy things I think you can do is go and look at what they're putting on their social media and what's getting engagement and likes. You know, if they're just churning out product content and things like that, then it's probably not resonate, and they're not getting any engagement, then it's not resonating. So maybe you can learn from their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Other things maybe also is just have a little look on Google, type in, you know, what comes up in the related keyword searches and things like that. Just have a little look at what's related, what news stories come up related to your fields, because that can be quite useful. And Twitter, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Twitter fan. You can find lots of information about your audience just by sort of watching what they're talking about, maybe creating lists as well, so that you don't have to go through the process of finding your customers every time, as you've got a list of clients or potential clients, and sort of just keep an eye on it.
I mean, there's so many places we can go to look at what's happening, to get information, to get content, to work out what we want to do going forward and everything like that. Interesting that you said about competitors. If something is really resonating and a competitor is doing it, how would you, and I suppose we're taking a few steps forward to delivery here, but we'll come back in a second. I'm just interested to know, how would you look to not replicate it, but use that info? What would your suggestion be rather than just copying exactly what they do?
Absolutely. I would say, how can you do it better? It might be that a different format works. So if it's an article that's performing really, really well, could you do a video? Could you do an infographic? And also, you know, your take on it will be different, hopefully, unless your plans are completely plagiarized. You know, what is it that your business does differently? What expertise does your business have that would set you apart? And how can you use that in your content?
Mm. Yeah, I agree. We just look to change it up a little bit. And that's what you want to do, be better than your competition, don't you? So why wouldn't you do that? Okay, so we've taken a look at where we get this information. What's the next step? Where are we going from there?
I think by focusing a lot on your audience, is then you can start building your strategy around where your objectives that you set out at the beginning and those customer needs overlap. Mm-hmm. And that will help you really form that strategy. So if, you know, there's a particular pain point, how can your strategy help them to overcome it in line with your business goals? So is it by providing thought leadership articles and helpful tips? Mm-hmm. Is it around inspiring them? Is it around, if you're struggling at the conversion stage, you know, maybe you could come up with some content that sort of sets out the benefits, and so looking at what sets you apart and differentiation. I think a lot of the time it's so important, like you were saying earlier, is how can you set yourself apart from your competitors, and how does that form part of your strategy?
So when you're looking at strategy, then do you look at it from the point of view of the customer journey and the different touch points and the different types of content at each touch point, or is it just a more, this is all the content we've got, let's push it on all social channels, and well, not just social, but anywhere we can?
No, I would typically look at different stages of the funnel. So looking at how you can apply that strategy at different stages, and then how that applies to the content for those different stages. So the customer needs at conversion are likely to be different to a customer that's already bought from you. So, you know, how do you create the content that reinforces that you're a thought leader, for instance?
Okay.
Once they become a client, you know, what is it that's different about you? Why should they come back to you? And so, yeah, focusing on that. And then in terms of the platforms, is that you might choose different content for different platforms as well. So if you're a B2B company, you might not decide to go on Instagram, or if you do, that the messaging is slightly different and it's more I was going to say more relaxed and more personal, but actually LinkedIn seems to be moving more in that direction anyway. So but you know, that there are different requirements, I think, for different social media platforms and even podcasts. You know, if you're writing an article to creating a podcast, the tone might be slightly different, and how does that fit in with the funnel?
Yeah, one thing on social channels, it seems to be they're all, especially on mobile devices, they're all slowly merging into the same, they're exactly the same, particularly Facebook and LinkedIn. Every now and again, I have to stop myself and think, which one am I on?
Mm-hmm. They're starting to even look alike.
Yeah,
I'm like, what? Where am I?
Mm, Yeah, it's a bit crazy. But again, different audiences doesn't mean you can't repurpose that content and all that kind of stuff.
I remember, though, just on that, and I feel like it's moved away from this now, but it used to be so business focused. And I remember when there was nobody on LinkedIn, there was like five people, it felt like, and all they were doing was just sort of sales messages and things like that. And now it's definitely, there's been a transition in the last 12 months, maybe partly due to lockdown. It's a lot more personal. And I've been finding sort of behind the scenes content for businesses is performing far better than anything else at the moment.
Yeah. And I suppose it'd be interesting to get your take on it, that openness and transparency, not just from a personal branding point of view, because it's almost the easy part, you know, it's you, so you can put out what you want, really. But from a B2B or just from a business perspective, it can be so difficult to get in that mindset of you still need that almost personal brand for a business, that personal touch. And the behind the scenes is just one way to highlight that there are no walls, where, you know, we are open and we want to welcome you in.
Yeah, especially with, I work with a lot of services businesses, and a lot of the time you're buying the relationship, you're buying the people, that people are buying your expertise. So actually, you know, bringing that to the forefront and introducing your teams and your employees and to your customers is one of the best ways to build trust, because you get a feel for whether you're going to like working with this brand and with their employees and how that will look going forwards. And actually, I think, you know, podcasts are great, videos are great, because you get that face-to-face interaction. Even if it's not live, you know, if it's a video, you still get a feel for what someone's like and what a business is like from those marketing materials.
Yeah. And it's all got to be in line with the brand as well. And if it isn't, it'll be blatantly obvious. And I think that's the trick. There's no hiding, really. And there shouldn't be either. If you're going to build content, it should be true to your style and true to your culture and true to your brand. Because if it isn't, people will just see right through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a disconnect in your brain when you see something that maybe is slightly off kilter. So if you're producing some sort of content that isn't actually, I'm trying to think of a good example, if I've seen one where a brand has gone and done, like a business to business brand has gone off and done something really, really fluffy. I can't think of a particular example, but you know, it makes you go, hang on a minute, what?
Yeah. And while you're talking there, it just reminded me, my head's down at this moment, because I took it, I'm sure it was a, oh, there we go, screenshot. And it was just the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So I don't know if you can see that, but it was Salesforce Live, United Kingdom and Ireland, in-depth learnings and product demos with Craig David.
And it's like, that.
What the heck is that?
I did a double take because I was like, is that Craig David?
Yeah, same here.
That's Salesforce. What? Yeah, it doesn't necessarily, yes, it's noticeable, but I don't know if it's noticeable for the right reasons.
And I mean, maybe he was just there from a production point of view or you know, playing music or whatever value he added. But that certainly didn't come across in the way they were portraying it. It was like he was an expert in the Salesforce field. And it was a perfect example. It just reminded me as soon as you said that, it's got to be some synergy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Okay, so we're on this strategy wave. And we've got our strategic direction. And within that strategy, are we looking at platforms here, or are we just looking at content?
I would typically at the strategy stages look at what the approach is going to be, and defining sort of what the core messaging is going to revolve around. I wouldn't necessarily move on to the platforms and the actual content itself until moving into the planning phase.
Yeah, brilliant.
Sitting down and coming up with a huge calendar.
I love it. So speaking of that, we know our strategic direction. We know we're getting Craig David on board.
Crowd say bow.
Selector, exactly. Something for the kids listening. we move on to the planning stage. So what are we doing at this planning stage then?
So typically I would start with a Gantt chart so that you've got some time frame mapped out. Because actually during your objectives and your planning and your auditing, I would look at, you know, how long you want this activity to last, how long is this strategy going to last, and then map out a Gantt chart that would last for that period of time and break it down. It might be by week, it could be by day, but just so that you have an idea of what's going in where and making sure you have a balance across the timeframes. I do find that some businesses want to do everything all at once. So they just want to create like 15 articles in a week, and then enthusiasm drops off. And then like the last 3 months of the campaign, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm a big fan of the calendar and the to-do list. And then, yeah, so, and then map out, for me, I map out platforms. So I'll say, right, so you've got social media, you've got website content, you might have PR, video, and although, and advertising maybe in the mix as well, just so that you know. And so I would just plot it all on the calendar over the course of the Gantt chart so that you know what's coming, who's doing it, and by when.
Okay, that's excellent. In terms of, you hit on a point there, the advertising part, which kind of clicked to me, budget. That's the first thing that clicked in my head was budget. I suppose there's the risk that somebody sees content and think, oh, free. Is there a certain percentage, weightage that you would say paid for, organic, whatever it is? Or is it a case of dependent on industry, dependent on the actual budget they have? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm going to be really difficult and say it really depends.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about marketing. Most of it is dependent on the industry, the customer, the business, et cetera, et cetera.
And the platform and the budget. So just thinking in particular about, so one of the clients I work with, I created sort of a series of articles and convince them to do LinkedIn advertising, but it's so much more expensive than other types of advertising because you can be so much more targeted that they, you know, they'll eat through their budget so much quicker. So I think it really depends on what you're trying to do, where you're trying to do it, what the messaging is, and your budget. But what I will say is that not all content is free, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So even if you're doing it in-house, there's still a time cost involved with that as well. So while it may appear to be free on the surface, you need to sort of factor in that actually it takes time, if nothing else.
And do you think that's one place where companies are going wrong? Because it's easy to fall into that. Social's free. We can write content for free. Let's get some stock images, which are either cheap or free, dependent on where you get them. So let's just do it all for free. You know, is that something you've come across?
Yeah, absolutely. And since being sort of self-employed and being a sort of providing consultancy services, is that people are quite surprised about how much it costs, because they're like, well, we can do that in-house. I'm like,
yeah.
And this is going to be a slight rant and a slight tangent, but it's like, but yes, I've been doing this for like 15, 20 years. I've crafted it. Yes, you can write something, but it's not necessarily going to resonate. And yes, you can put something on social media, but unless you know why you're doing it and how to get that across, you're not necessarily going to see the results that you'd expect. So I think there's often a learning, a little bit of education, especially with businesses who haven't used an agency or a consultant before, and they've typically done it in-house. I'm just thinking about an example where basically like the chairman of the business hadn't ever really seen any results from marketing because they've never invested in it. So they've done it in-house, and then they couldn't understand why the agencies were charging so much, and having to sit down and go, well, actually, you know, this is why it'd be better. And these are the results you can expect. So a lot of the time there's a bit of an education process involved.
I mean, I can go into the kitchen and make a cheesecake, but have I ever made a cheesecake? I'm trying to think now. Let's just say I haven't. I've never made a cheesecake. So it'll take me longer and the result probably isn't going to be fantastic. It'll be all right. Flavors will be good. It's not going to be fantastic, but it's going to take me longer. I'm going to have to go out and buy the ingredients, all that kind of stuff. Whereas I could go to a bakery and say, I want this kind of cheesecake. They could probably do it in a day. You know what you get in, but you're going to pay for that service. So similar thing. I always try and revolve my analogies around cake or something similar, by the way.
I like that. It works for me.
Excellent. Fantastic. So we've got this plan, say 12-month plan of content, and we know what we're saying when, or you know, we've got an idea. This next part for me is crucial in the whole thing, and that's the delivery. So how do we make sure that this actually goes ahead, what we've planned?
Tell people well in advance. Even before that, is make sure you've got your stakeholders involved. So if you are going to be reliant on people to create that content, if you're going to be reliant on people to, you know, source pictures, or if they're out and about, if you're going to be require sign off. So a lot of the time I work with sort of financial services, you need compliance sign off, make sure those people are in the know and they know what's coming. And then when they're likely to be involved, if you can give them the deadlines in advance so they can block out time. and give them a false deadline. That would be my other biggest tip. Do not actually tell them when your deadline is,
yep,
because they will work right up to the line. So try and bring it back by a day or two as well. That would be one of my biggest tips. If you can, if you don't have the resource, make sure you brief someone and external. So speak to a writer, a photographer, a videographer, or an external marketer to get the professional quality that you would expect. Mm-hmm. And make sure you brief them properly, because this is also something that I sort of come across quite frequently, is that the brief isn't quite on point. So make sure that you are telling them what your objectives are, telling them what you want this piece of content to do, when you want it done by, obviously, and any other sort of factors that they need to know. So if it's like SEO content, you know, what are the keywords, how often do you expect them to be in there, that kind of thing. So make sure you brief well in advance and give them as much information as you possibly can. I've had briefs where it's just like, I want an article about this. I'm like, okay, but maybe a bit more detail about what you're trying to do with it would be great.
Yeah, and the SEO and the keywords is a really good point to just highlight that and not to overdo it. In any good content writer or creator will know that, but not to think that just keyword stuffing is the way forward, because I've mentioned this on a podcast previously. I was listening to a different podcast and I can't remember who said it, but they said Google used to be stupid, but they're not now. So don't treat them as stupid.
No, they're so good at like the semantic linking and all those kind of things. They know which terms are related to each other. So as long as you're using the key terms and synonyms fairly naturally, it will know what your page is about and know where to rank you as a result.
Yeah. Would you say that this delivery is a full-time job? Would it need, and again, I know it depends on size and things like that, but would you say it is a full-time role that needs that focus, or could it be part of a team?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I've been in-house and done in-house roles, actually taking on a project manager type role as part of what I was doing as well. So I might do sort of 80% of the deliverables, but 20% of that would be the planning and making sure it's delivered. So working with external agencies or working with other members of the team and making sure that they're hitting their deadlines and they're meeting the quality standards that the campaign would expect. And then sort of doing 8% of my own work, if that makes sense. Yeah. So maybe as a marketing manager, that would be my suggestion, is, you know, not necessarily doing it all day, every day, but, you know, you might carve out some time to do that project manager role.
Okay.
It depends on the business, as you say, though. If you're a huge business, it could well be, you know, a full-time job.
Yeah. So we're going great guns. We're firing all this content out, and that part's brilliant. But the final element of your method, again, I mean, all of them are crucial, to be fair, but this one is probably the one that is missed out the most, other than the strategic direction and thinking. And that is the performance part. So what are we doing here then?
So I have to admit that I'm a bit of a data nerd, and I do spend a lot of my time looking at analytics and you know, engagement rates and things like that. So I would fairly regularly check in depending on what the activity is. So I always do a monthly report anyway. But I would do like a campaign report, and I monitor quite closely. So if I'm launching a particular campaign, especially within that first few days, I'll be watching that quite closely to see what the reaction is, how much traffic it's gaining, how much engagement there's been, and things like that. So I know that this is something that's leveled quite a lot at content marketing, is that it's so hard to measure. But there are things you can do, like using UTM tracking and campaign tracking by Google, or using unique URLs or phone numbers, and even just looking at conversion rates on websites and things like that, that you can do. And I'm quite keen to sort of demonstrate that to clients, especially those that feel like it's maybe who are more traditional and aren't that keen on investing in marketing, is to say, well, actually, you know, your conversion rate went up as a result of this piece of content going live.
And on the back of that, then, how fluid are we making this plan and delivery? Because if it isn't working, then we might have to see some shifts or some changes. So is that incorporated in planning, or is it a certain marker and then we'll see how things are going?
Yeah, I try and be quite flexible. So give the campaign or the activity a while to bed in and to start seeing results. But I would say that if you're not seeing the results you expect, then give, maybe cut your losses. I'm not against sort of saying, actually, this isn't working. Let's, like, if it's an advertising campaign, let's cut our losses and stop. Actually, when going back to the planning phase, what I would typically do if it's a year long plan is I would actually only plan out sort of 3 to 6 months mm-hmm. and have an idea what's going to come in the next 3 to 6 months. But based on what's happening right now, we can then plan mm-hmm. maybe more efficiently, refine that plan further down the line. It might be that an article about a particular topic did really, really well. So maybe instead of doing something about a topic that hasn't really resonated, maybe we could swap that around and change, shift the focus a little bit. So ongoing refinement, I think, is really important.
Yeah. And I know that's hugely dependent on the industries you mm-hmm. work in and external environment and things that you can't change but might have an impact and all that kind of stuff we need to consider. But it's good to note that you could have a 12-month plan, but it's more or less try and focus as much as we can on the now. And then, like you said, in the future, things might change.
Well, I think this year has been a prime example of why you can't be too rigid. You know, I think working with some of my clients in January and saying, like, this is going to be the campaign through sort of January, February, March, and come mid-February, it was clear that it wasn't really going to happen. And actually, so thank God we didn't plan that, like, the next quarter in too much detail, because actually we had to completely shift the focus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, 2020 has been a really good case study in a whole host of different senses, to be fair, but let's not go down that rabbit hole, eh? Nope. So moving on, so we've covered the content marketing method. What are your favorite, like, platforms and apps and software to help develop content, maybe monitor it, like, just in general, I suppose, uh-huh. with your work?
I am, I think I might be addicted to SEMrush. I'm going to be completely honest.
Okay, yeah.
Going back to my data nerdiness, I do really like looking at not just keywords. Actually, keyword research is really interesting because you end up getting down to the nitty-gritty of actually what people are looking for. Mm. So I find that really useful. And also for tracking mm-hmm. progress and activity, I think it's just really, really useful and actually can do so much. So I've just recently started using the social media side of it for posting and tracking. Okay. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm a big fan of SEMrush. Buzzsumo is quite useful. I do like that for looking at what people are talking about, what's performing, especially, you know, the way it splits out, you know, articles and things that are performing on Facebook might not be performing on Pinterest, might not be performing on Google. I just really love Buzzsumo. Mm-hmm. But also Google, I know that they are sort of kind of taking over the world, but actually you can find out a lot of information just using Google. Mm. I've touched on this before, but, you know, looking for related keywords, what is ranking, looking at what that looks like. Google News is really useful. I'm trying to think what else I use it for. Google Alerts are fantastic. Yeah, mm-hmm. I get more of those than maybe I should. I should probably slim those back down. Most of them now go to my junk, so that might be a
yeah.
So Google Alerts is fantastic. Google My Business. So for keeping that profile up to date and, you know, your business hours and gaining reviews, I find that's super useful. Humble Google.
So if somebody was looking to follow your method or just implement some kind of content, would you suggest starting small, utilizing as many tools as you can? What would be your first thing to tell them about, particularly software and platforms and things like that?
Yeah, I think sometimes people go headlong into signing up to millions of things and then not necessarily using them. I would say absolutely start small. Think about what it is that you're trying to do first. So if you want to be creating keyword content, maybe look at SEMrush or one of the similar cheaper tools out there to start getting a feel for how you're going to use it, because you can spend a lot of money signing up for a subscription that actually then it doesn't quite do what you think it does or the way you want it to. And also platform wise, I'd say, especially with regards to social media, is you don't have to be on everything. And I do get that a lot, is, you know, from some businesses, you know, should be on Snapchat. I'm like, well, I don't really think your audience is there. So think about where your audience is. That's so important. Be where mm-hmm. they are, not where you think you should be, or because it's the next best thing. You know, I don't know that there are many financial services businesses who really need to be on TikTok. Mm. I mean, I could be wrong.
And again, it just depends. It's all about testing, isn't it? Or not only testing, but ask your audience, you know, just ask them what platforms they're on. And like you say, it might be, like you mentioned Reddit, and that might be a perfect platform for some people. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the most obvious, you know, you do a Google search and look for social media platforms, and there's probably 1,000 to 2,000 going dead niche into certain things that you could choose from. But it seems like we only look at the top 5 or 6 that are available.
Actually, what I would also say is that, you know, if you're marketing to different markets, that you might want to consider, you know, yes, while Instagram might be great here, you might want to look at WeChat for audiences in China. Or if you're marketing, you know, elsewhere in the world, it might not be that the UK's social media preferences are reflected there. So, you know, if you're an international business, you don't need to, you might need to reassess. And also think about what it is you have capacity for. Mm-hmm. If you've only got a small team, it might only make sense to have one primary social media account.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Try and do everything.
Yeah, yeah, and then you end up being good for nothing, really. And also ran. I always try and tell people that if you try and do that, you end up being an also ran, and you want to be first, not an also ran.
Yeah.
Final major question for me then: What are most people doing wrong when they're looking to tackle their content planning? Then what are you seeing most?
I'm going to come back to audience again. I think a lot of businesses don't think about what their audience needs enough. They think about what's new with their business, what the features are that they offer, but not necessarily how that applies to their customers and why they should care. So it's all very well saying you've got, you know, this award in X, Y, or Z, but if it doesn't necessarily translate to, you know, improving the client's life in some way, then they're not necessarily going to care. And if you don't tell them, then they're really not going to. Sometimes it has to be spelled out.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree to that. I always say that we become very insular and blind with our own organizations because they're great, wonderful, and beautiful, but no one really cares. No. So look at it from their point of view, and no one does really care, to be fair.
No, I mean, it's about, for me, I think it's about finding a way to make them care. You know,
yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, using storytelling to demonstrate that you have a really great CSR record. And so actually by becoming a client, you're helping to support that community involvement, mm-hmm. or, you know, that you've got that award because you are really great at innovation. Well, that means that your products are better than the competitions. Mm-hmm. You know, how can you use your content to make them care?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Talking of caring, would you care? Look at that. Seamless. Would you care to answer some quick fire questions?
Go on then.
Brilliant. Absolutely seamless as always, Peter. Well done. What is the last thing you remember Googling?
I feel like I've done about 1 billion Googles today. A recipe for kedgeree, having watched, I watched The Crown and Margaret Thatcher was making some kedgeree. And I was like, God, I haven't had that in ages. So that's the last thing I remember.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like curried, it sounds vile when I'm describing it. It's like curried rice with smoked haddock in it and an egg. And like a hard-boiled egg slice. It's actually really good. It's like an Indian,
okay,
British Indian recipe.
Okay, right, cool. Moving on. What's the most important thing to know in marketing right now?
Oh, most important thing to know. There's lots of things happening. Because I'm just thinking there's been a bunch of things happening this week. So Instagram has launched, Instagram, you can now search by keywords. So they have, if you are doing any Instagram marketing, you should consider the keywords that you put in your captions.
Right. Good to
know. You'll be discovered.
Happy days. Mm-hmm. Why do you love what you do?
Because I'm nosy.
Brilliant. I'd have gone inquisitive, but let's go with nosy. Yeah,
I'm nosy. So one of the reasons I wanted to be a journalist was because I'm interested in finding out about different cultures, different people, different ideas. And actually, I feel like that translates really, really well to marketing. So, you know, getting to know my clients, getting under the skin of what it is that they do, and also their clients. You know, I love doing client case studies and speaking to customers and finding out about what their challenges were, how they've overcome them, and really getting into people's lives. So yeah, nosy.
Great stuff. Finally, and most importantly, If people want to find out about you, what you do, and get in touch with you, where are you pointing them? Where should they go?
So I am on LinkedIn as both Lucy Mert and Method Marketing. I also have a website, which is www.methodmarketing.org. And if you are so inclined, I'm also on Instagram as method.marketing.
Fantastic. Lucy Mert, thank you so, so much for joining me today. Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Lucy, once again, thank you so, so much for joining me. Absolute pleasure. Just enough time to talk about my takeaways from that episode. And first one, my top tip. And that was to set out your objectives before you do anything in terms of producing content. I would even go one step further and add in all the elements Lucy went on to talk about here, such as your audit and strategy. Please don't dive into the comms, don't dive into content creation until you understand your audience, until you understand your strategy and where that'll go. And I'm going to get off my soapbox now. My favourite quote from this episode, apart from discussing Alan Partridge, of course, was when Lucy stated, a lot of businesses don't think about the audience enough, which goes back to the objectives and all those elements I was talking about in the top tip. And this is so true. Organisations can become very insular and think that everyone cares about them, when in reality, they don't. Write for the few that do care. And finally, the most important takeaway from this episode is that you don't have to be on everything. Choose your channels and use them well. It's good to experiment and test, but don't feel you have to be everywhere all the time. Small steps. Doing one channel correctly, consistently, will help you so much more than spreading yourself far too thinly, especially if you are a small company. Know your limits and the impact you can have within these. Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.